there were one set of rules for the visiting Australian journalists, another set of rules for the local Papua New Guinean journalists. And, you know, I've been in a situation like that myself, and I do not I do not like it at all. And I think that having the journalists of Papua New Guinea, and some of these journalists are senior in their trade, being subjected to that, there's no room for that. And I think that we do have to speak out loudly against this sort of practice. And, you know, we don't want this to be the pattern in other countries. So definitely I feel for the journalists in Papua New Guinea and who were subjected to this, I would say, you know, it's a sort of thing that, you know, you could read a book, a history book from way back when and during the colonial powers when the islands were you know, had white masters in government. But, you know, in this day and age, it's just despicable.
In what way were the PNG journalists discriminated against? What actually happened? What couldn't they do that others could?
Okay, what we have been told is that they were told that after, you know, taking certain photographs that they would leave and that they would not be able to be part of the question and answer session that took place during the visit. And only the Australian journalists, you know, were allowed. And they weren't even served any refreshments. I think that that's very discriminatory, especially with coverage of such an important event. I think that, you know, we should make our voices heard loud and clear that we Pacific Island journalists don't care for that sort of treatment. We don't deserve it.
Is it clear who was responsible for this different treatment? Was it the visiting Australian group? Well, was it the PNG government? Was it local security?
Well, we haven't gotten down to that yet. All the information that we have received is, you know, the treatment of the journalists from Papua New Guinea. But who was responsible, that doesn't, it's not clear. But the insinuation is that the Australians who were hosting were responsible.
Does this sort of thing happen in other Pacific Island countries as well?
You know, covering, especially with this administration in American Samoa right now, and I think it has to do with protocol officers not knowing what the rules are, or not even having any kind of training in protocol. But yeah, we've been to situations where the visiting journalists would be able to be part. It will be hosted in the VIP room and then at the airport, and then we local journalists are told to wait. I went to a emergency cabinet meeting last week where the governor announced a reduction in work hours. Luckily, I had spoken to the governor the day before because his assistant chief of staff told me that no media was allowed. I insisted that I told to the governor I was there to cover it, especially in an emergency meeting. And luckily for me, the governor just happened to be, you know, arriving at that time and told me to come in. Otherwise, I would have been left out. And, you know, with island journalists, we don't want to create a scene. We don't want to attract attention to us. So normally in that situation, I would, as a senior journalist, just, you know, just take it in and then raise concerns later, but not, you know, make a scene. But I think if we do that more and more, I think it becomes a standard practice and they think it'll be okay to treat us like that. But, I'm pretty sure this happens in other parts of the Pacific. I know that a few years ago there were inter-Samoa talks being held, and the journalists in Samoa were told that no journalists would be allowed into the meeting. But I believe our governor, you know, has always had an open-door policy. So the journalists from one journalist from American Samoa who happened to be there sat in on the meeting, and the Samoan journalists were left out.